This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Nick, how are you doing?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, plenty to talk about. We're going to have a preview of next week. But before we go there, let's talk about yesterday's US PPI.
Yeah, this week was an inflation read for the US, and the consumer price index ticked up. So did the producer price index. Actually, a little bit more of a mover than the CPI this week, I would argue. CPI was really in line with expectations. PPI was a little bit warm. You know, you look at that in combination with the unemployment claims, however, which did also come up higher, gave you a little bit of a mixed view in terms of data on Thursday. It was a big day for US data this week. So one for each side of the interest rate story. On one hand, you had a slowdown in jobs data by a little bit, and then in another, you had an uptick in inflation. Obviously, that combination, you don't want to see that too frequently, too often. That's a little bit more stagflation type of stuff. But for this week's purposes, it sort of locked in, the CPI and the unemployment claims really locked in. Okay, we're going to get a rate cut almost certainly next week from the Fed. But the bigger question now becomes, we've seen an uptick again in dollar strength this week. It seems like when we look at the full picture, Johnny, it's been central banks reporting one after the next. Seems like the Fed's going to go into next week. And then from there, it's really a big question of when they're going to cut again, because you've got inflation higher in the US than other places, and other central banks seem far more dovish than the Fed. And for good reason. The US economy seems to just be roaring strong. What many people thought was a restrictive spot for the Fed doesn't seem restrictive enough to really get rate cuts lined up for next year, which to me and to many others is a surprise. This economy in the US has been nothing short of a surprise this year. And for many analysts, they don't see nearly as many rate cuts coming out next year. So a really big shift in that story, Johnny. Meanwhile, we had central banks all over the place reporting this week.
That's right. You mentioned that other central banks, apart from the Fed, are fairly dovish. Well, I can't include the Bank of England on that when you can compare the bank to, say, the ECB, which cut rates again this week. Next week, as you said, we've got the Fed reporting the latest in its rates, and the Bank of England as well. Now, this morning, we saw some pretty poor GDP figures for the United Kingdom. And I'm wondering whether that might affect the Bank of England's decision next week, because up until the last few days, many people thought the Monetary Policy Committee would keep the rate at 5%. I would imagine that they might be tempted to go a quarter point down on that to 4.75%, because they don't want to be left behind when you compare them to the likes of the ECB, the Bank of Canada we talked about on Wednesday with a 50 basis points cut again. You just have to look at sterling at the moment. Sterling against the euro is hitting a near five-year peak. And that is reflected in the fact that the ECB is cutting rates much faster than the Bank of England.
Yeah, and actually, to your point there, just about maybe this GDP number today causing a little bit of a hiccup in that line of thought about Bank of England. Well, you've got the euro pound actually trading higher today, of course, off of exactly what you said. Maybe a little bit more leniency towards cutting alongside many of its G7 peers. The Bank of England might be poised to reconsider things. Again, we're seeing many central banks. Another one to mention, of course, was the Swiss National Bank, which surprised investors this week. Analysts were thinking a 25 basis point cut would occur. We actually got 50. So we're seeing this trend towards rate cuts. Meanwhile, again, as we mentioned earlier, it seems like the US kind of standing out on an island. I suppose you also have the RBA, which is trying to stay as hawkish as possible. But even still, take a look at a chart of the Australian dollar against the US dollar, and you can see just how much the market believes that, right? You've got the Australian dollar down. In fact, going back to your topic about the ECB, the euro, if we look at the euro, I would encourage listeners, just pull up a chart of the euro dollar on the daily chart and zoom out, and you can see this is looking like a very weak chart. This chart can't seem to catch any strength against the dollar. And that is a theme that, we could extrapolate out to many pairs. Take a look at the pound against the dollar. Take a look at the Australian dollar. The dollar strength is just very clear here and right now. How much of that is the central bank stuff versus potential fiscal policy changes? That will be yet to be seen going into next year. How will the tariffs impact this stuff? I mean, just another recent one to discuss would, of course, be the Mexican peso, right? Of course, our southern allies here in the United States, we do a lot of trade with Mexico, but there's been some, you know, with Canada and with the peso, or the Mexican peso, there's been some interesting price action, some interesting currency moves as Donald Trump is shaping up his kind of, he's jostling for position, if you will, with some of Trudeau and with, you know, Mexican leadership as well. So really interesting stuff on the tariff side, what that could do to the currency. Again, right now, the market seems to be siding with the US dollar against most other currencies. Which is interesting because, of course, we've got a big week next week, Johnny.
Yes, this meeting on Wednesday of the Fed. I mean, what is the likelihood of a cut? Is it absolutely 100%?
It's very, very high. Last time I checked the Fed Watch tool, it was somewhere around 95% chance that we'd get a 25 basis point cut. But Johnny, I'll tell you one thing I'm looking for in this meeting is here we've got other central banks acknowledging, you know, light inflation, this GDP number out of the UK. I'm wondering if maybe we get a little bit more of a sharp tone from Powell. I mean, you've had the stock market, not that this is an indicator that the Fed uses to make monetary policy decisions. Stock market in the US is up 27% year to date, give or take. Point I bring up with that is that that is not the sort of environment where the Fed feels any need to rush rate cuts, right? The stock market's selling off because it's afraid of, you know, really bad slowdown, recession concerns like we saw a little bit during the summer months. That's a different environment. But right now, my question is, this coming week with Powell, are we going to get a sharper take on inflation? We've seen a couple upticks in CPI. This week's PPI number was hotter than expected. You know, there is the concern that the market itself is telling you, hey, this Fed might not actually be restrictive enough. And so maybe that means they get neutral on the policy rate sometime sooner than later. Maybe this is the week. I don't know. You know, with just one full remaining trading week in the stock market world this year, question will really come down to with Powell, is he going to take a stronger stance on inflation? And whether they admit it or not, the tariff stuff, the immigration stuff, those questions of whether or not that will be inflationary have got to be on the minds of the Fed, even if it's just a back burner thought right now. It's going to be interesting to see if that seeps into their outlook, their forecasts for next year. And I think that the Fed has, had a rough time with the whole inflation is transitory. They learned their lesson the hard way about trying to be too predictive, too ahead of the curve, if you will. So I don't necessarily think that on the front page, they're going to say, you know, anything about fiscal policy. I don't think that, I think they're going to continue to say they're data dependent, all the same stuff that we always hear. But my question is, you know, how much of it do you not have to say, but still be thinking about, right? Those tariffs, we all know they're coming. We all know that's going to introduce some changes. And perhaps the Fed could benefit from just being slow to act in this scenario, which would lean you towards slow rate cuts, right? Let's not rate cut into an environment that may or may not be inflationary next year. This is the theme for next year that I'm watching. 2025 on the horizon is many times in US history, we get the uptick in inflation followed by a cooling of inflation and then a second round of inflation. We've got to watch out for that. And the Fed knows it too, right? If I know it, they certainly do. So, you know, they're the smartest in the, or supposedly they're supposed to be the smartest in the economics world, right? It's up for debate depending on who you ask. But the point is, they certainly know that there's the possibility of a round two of inflation. So got to keep that on the watch list for 2025. Definitely keep it on your bingo card, I would say.
It's going to be fascinating seeing what happens next week and, of course, the year to come, Nick. Thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.